Long live freedom, damn it. Remarks by President Javier Milei during the general debate of the 79th session of the United Nations General Assembly, New York, United States, on Tuesday, September 24th, 2024, retrieved from the official Argentine government website, translated from Spanish to English via the Google Chrome browser tool. To the authorities of the United Nations, to the representatives of the different countries that comprise it, and to all the citizens of the world who are watching us, good afternoon. For those who do not know, I am not a politician. I am an economist, a liberal libertarian economist, who never had the ambition to enter politics and who was honored with the position of President of the Argentine Republic in the face of the resounding failure of more than a century of collectivist policies that destroyed our country. This is my first speech before the United Nations General Assembly, and I would like to take this opportunity to humbly warn the various nations of the world about the path they have been following for decades and about the danger that this organization may fail to fulfill its original mission. I am not here to tell the world what to do. I am here to tell the world, on the one hand, what will happen if the United Nations continues to promote the collectivist policies that it has been promoting under the mandate of the 2030 Agenda, and, on the other, what are the values that the new Argentina defends? I do want to begin by giving credit where credit is due. The United Nations organization was born out of the horror of the bloodiest war in global history, with the main objective of ensuring that it never happens again. For that reason, the organization set its fundamental principles in stone in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. There, a basic agreement was recorded around a maxim that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. Under the tutelage of this organization and the adoption of these ideas, during the last 70 years, humanity lived through the longest period of global peace in history, which also coincided with the period of greatest economic growth in history. An international forum was created where nations could resolve their conflicts through cooperation instead of instantly resorting to arms, and something unthinkable was achieved, permanently seating the five largest powers in the world at the same table, each with the same veto power, despite having totally opposing interests. All this did not make the scourge of war disappear, but it did, for now, ensure that no conflict escalated to global proportions. The result was that we went from having two world wars in less than 40 years, which together claimed more than 120 million lives, to having 70 consecutive years of relative peace and global stability, under the cloak of an order that allowed the entire world to integrate commercially, compete, and prosper. Because where trade enters, bullets do not enter, said Bastiat. Because trade guarantees peace, freedom guarantees trade, and equality before the law guarantees freedom. What the prophet Isaiah had written was finally fulfilled and could be read in the park across the street. God will judge between the nations and arbitrate for the many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning shears. Nation will not take up sword against nation. They will never know war again. This is what has happened, mostly, under the tutelage of the United Nations in its first decades, and that is why, from this perspective, we are talking about a remarkable success in the history of nations that cannot be ignored. Now, at some point, and as usually happens with most bureaucratic structures that we men create, this organization stopped watching over the principles outlined in its founding declaration and began to mutate. An organization that had been thought of, essentially, as a shield to protect the kingdom of men, was transformed into a multi-tentacled leviathan, which aims to decide not only what each nation-state should do, but also how all citizens of the world should live. This is how we went from an organization that pursued peace to an organization that imposes an ideological agenda on its members, on a host of issues that make up the life of man in society. The successful model of the United Nations, which can be traced back to the ideas of President Wilson, who spoke of a society of peace without victory, and was based on the cooperation of nation states, has been abandoned. It has been replaced by a model of supranational government of international bureaucrats who seek to impose a certain way of life on the citizens of the world. What is being discussed this week here in New York at the Summit of the Future is nothing other than the deepening of this tragic course that this institution has adopted. Thus, the deepening of a model that, in the words of the Secretary of the United Nations himself, requires defining a new social contract on a global scale, doubling the commitments of the 2030 agenda. I want to be clear about the position of the Argentine agenda. The 2030 agenda, although well-intentioned in its goals, is nothing other than a supranational government program of a socialist nature that seeks to solve the problems of modernity with solutions that undermine the sovereignty of nation-states and violate people's rights to life, liberty, and property. It is an agenda that seeks to solve poverty, inequality, and discrimination with legislation that only deepens them. Because world history shows that the only way to guarantee prosperity is by limiting the power of the monarch, guaranteeing equality before the law, and defending the right to life, liberty, and property of individuals. It was precisely the adoption of this agenda, which obeys privileged interests, the abandonment of the principles outlined in the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, that distorted the role of this institution and put it on the wrong path. Thus, we have seen how an organization which was born to defend human rights has been one of the main promoters of the systematic violation of freedom, such as, for example, with the global quarantines during 2020, which should be considered a crime against humanity. In this same house that claims to defend human rights, they have allowed bloody dictatorships, such as those in Cuba and Venezuela, to enter the Human Rights Council without the slightest reproach. In this same house that claims to defend women's rights, they allow countries that punish their women for showing their skin to enter the Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. In this same house, systematically, they have voted against the State of Israel, which is the only country in the Middle East that defends liberal democracy, while simultaneously demonstrating a total inability to respond to the scourge of terrorism. On the economic level, they have promoted collectivist policies that threaten economic growth. They violate property rights and hinder the natural economic process, preventing the most backward countries in the world from freely enjoying their own resources to move forward. Regulations and prohibitions promoted precisely by the countries that developed, thanks to doing the same thing that they condemn today. A toxic relationship has also been fostered between global governance policies and international credit agencies, requiring the most marginalized countries to commit resources they do not have to programs they do not need, turning them into perpetual debtors to promote the agenda of global elites. Nor has the World Economic Forum's tutelage helped, where ridiculous policies are promoted with Malthusian blinkers, such as zero emissions policies, which harm, above all, poor countries. Policies linked to sexual and reproductive rights when the birth rate of Western countries is plummeting, announcing a bleak future for all. Nor has the organization satisfactorily fulfilled its mission of defending the territorial sovereignty of its members, as we Argentines know firsthand in the relationship with the Malvinas Islands. And we have even reached a situation in which the Security Council, which is the most important body in this house, has been denatured because the veto of its permanent members has begun to be used in defense of the particular interests of some. This is where we are today, with an organization that is powerless to provide solutions to the real global conflicts, such as the aberrant Russian invasion of Ukraine, which has already cost the lives of more than 300,000 people, leaving a trail of more than a million wounded in the process. An organization that, instead of facing these conflicts, invests time and effort in imposing on poor countries what and how they should produce, with whom to associate, what they should eat, and what they should believe, as the present pact for the future intends to dictate. This long list of errors and contradictions has not been gratuitous, but has resulted in the loss of credibility of the United Nations in the eyes of the citizens of the free world and in the denaturation of its functions. That is why I want to make a warning. We are facing the end of a cycle. Collectivism and moral posturing of the woke agenda have collided with reality and no longer have credible solutions to offer to the real problems of the world. In fact, they never had them. If the 2030 agenda failed, as its own promoters acknowledge, the response should be to ask ourselves if it was not a poorly conceived program from the start, accepting that reality and changing course. We cannot pretend to persist in the error by doubling down on an agenda that has failed. The same always happens with ideas that come from the left. They design a model in accordance with what the human being should be, according to them, and when individuals freely act differently, they have no better solution than to restrict, repress, and limit their freedom. We in Argentina have already seen with our own eyes what lies at the end of this path of envy and sad passions: poverty, brutalization, anarchy, and a fatal absence of freedom. We still have time to turn away from this path. I want to be clear about something so that there are no misinterpretations. Argentina, which is currently undergoing a profound process of change, has decided to embrace the ideas of freedom. Those ideas that say that all citizens are born free and equal before the law, that we have inalienable rights granted by the Creator, among which are the right to life, liberty, and property. These principles, which govern the process of change that we are carrying out in Argentina, are also the principles that will guide our international conduct from now on. We believe in defending life for all. We believe in defending property for all. We believe in freedom of speech for all. We believe in freedom of religion for all. We believe in freedom of commerce for all. And we believe in limited government, all of them. And since in these times what happens in one country quickly impacts others, we believe that all peoples should live free from tyranny and oppression, whether it takes the form of political oppression, economic slavery, or religious fanaticism. This fundamental idea must not remain mere words. It must be supported by deeds, diplomatically, economically, and materially, through the joint strength of all countries that defend freedom. This doctrine of the new Argentina is nothing more or less than the true essence of the United Nations organization, that is, the cooperation of the United Nations in defense of freedom. If the United Nations decides to return to the principles that gave it life and to adapt again to the role for which it was conceived, it can count on the unwavering support of Argentina in the fight for freedom. Please know, too, that Argentina will not support any policy that involves the restriction of individual freedoms, of trade, or the violation of the natural rights of individuals, no matter who promotes it or how much consensus that institution has. For this reason, we want to express, officially, our dissent on the Pact of the Future, signed on Sunday, and we invite all the nations of the free world to join us, not only in dissenting from this pact, but in creating a new agenda for this noble institution, the agenda of freedom. From this day on, know that the Argentine Republic will abandon the position of historical neutrality that characterized us, and we will be at the forefront of the fight in defense of freedom, because, as Thomas Paine said, those who wish to reap the blessings of liberty must, like men, endure the fatigue of defending it. May God bless the Argentines and all the citizens of the world, and may the forces of heaven be with us. Long live freedom, damn it. Thank you very much.